It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With the new legislative session underway, we explore the policy agenda of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, which states its mission is to represent the interests of the state's 90,000 registered nurses. Join the conversation about the nursing workforce as it is in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Gina Denick-Champion is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, and she's been an RN for more than 40 years. Gina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate, and good morning.
Good morning. How are nurses in Wisconsin doing after 3 years of the pandemic? What are you hearing?
The practice environment is still pretty tough. There's not enough nurses, and we're also seeing a lot of individuals with chronic conditions that have been kind of left untreated that are now needing really intensive acute care. Some are in there with COVID, others are in there with the influenza, although that seems to be going away, the downside, but there's still a lot of folks needing acute care. Our primary care settings, sort of the same scenario, more folks needing care than there are providers. So it still remains a pretty, I would say, tense environment for nurses.
How is the mental health of nurses? What do you see there?
We know that their well-being could certainly use some fortification, so to speak. They are tired. They are burned out. They are doing what they can to continue to provide the care that they can. But we really, in WNA, we're trying to do our best to help provide where they can find some resources to think about, you know, what is this thing called burnout, or how can I take better care of myself during this time?
How does the association address work-life balance and burnout? What efforts are you making to address these issues?
Well, from a higher perspective, you know, then I'll get to the detail, but we've pulled together 16 nursing associations in Wisconsin. So those range from faculty to nurse executives to those nurses with the boots on the ground, so to speak, that are in the emergency rooms, in the surgical centers, those sorts of associations that represent that specialty. And we've identified five priorities that we are trying to work on and develop some clearer messages coming from all of us about what we can be doing to help address the nursing shortage. And one of those is looking at the well-being of nurses. And that, as that continues to be discussed, there are lots of resources that between WNA and the American Nurses Association have in place where they can go, as well as, really asking that the workplace environment, some are doing a fabulous job of really trying to, you know, take care of the well-being and really trying to help these nurses. So we have our EAP programs that are available, but they're still there and still feeling the challenge.
Those employee assistance programs. One of the priorities on your list is the APRN Modernization Act. This law that you would like to propose here in part allows nurse practitioners to prescribe medication and refer patients without a documented collaboration with a physician. Why is passing this piece of legislation so important to your association?
So we believe that advanced practice registered nurses who are nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, nurse anesthetists, and nurse midwives can practice in the areas where there really isn't a lot of other healthcare providers. And we have nurses that have opened their own independent practice, not independent particularly all the way we would like to see as other 26 other states, be able to practice. Right now, they need to pay a physician to be a collaborator. And number one, a lot of physicians in other health systems are not allowed to be a paid collaborator because of the conflict of interest. And then there are others where, you know, the nurse isn't necessarily needing that physician that they're paying to be their collaborator when what you find advanced practice nurses doing is providing that calling or contacting the provider that can do the best and meet the needs. So if I know my patient, for example, you know, I've identified some heart problems that are kind of beyond my scope, I'm going to call the cardiologist. I'm not going to call my collaborating physician. If my patient is having some significant respiratory concerns, they're going to call the pulmonologist. They're going to call the surgeon. And with that, you know, having to pay for, you know, this other provider really doesn't necessarily support getting these nurses into these communities where there's a lot of health disparities and other areas where they can provide that care and do it a little more cost effective.
I mean, you just gave examples there of collaboration, and all healthcare professionals collaborate. That's part of medicine. It needs to be part of medicine. I mean, why is a legislated collaborative agreement a barrier in the advanced practice nursing profession?
So there's no other profession that's required to do that. And it's a one-way collaboration. So it's the nurse, the advanced practice nurse, that needs to find the physician to be the collaborator. And the collaborator, the physician, is not required to collaborate with this advanced practice nurse, which can leave that nurse, you know, out there without, you know, being able to do what they want to do. And sometimes they can be the only provider in that area of the state, particularly in when you think about mental health care here in this state. So there is that piece. And as I said, 26 other states are doing this, and they're getting into those settings and, you know, places where there's not enough providers in these states, physicians, for example, because of the shortage, where they are not able to be able to take care of those other populations. So
you're saying like a physician might not be in the specific area that a nurse practitioner wishes to set up a clinic in order to have that collaboration, yeah. That clinic might not exist.
Correct. Okay. And we find with some of these nurses, they could be a day away from having to close their practice. Hmm. And you think about the mental health side of it. If you are the only practitioner in that area of the state, where are they going to refer their patients if they have to close?
Gina Denick-Champion, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, as we look at top priorities of their group, you can join in on the nursing workforce, what you encounter, what a loved one is encountering as a nurse. 800-642-1234. Gina, Governor Tony Evers vetoed a similar bill last spring, stating that it does not address concerns of physicians. What has changed that will make this APRN Modernization Act more likely to become law?
Well, we're pretty optimistic this session. We have sat down, or we are sitting and talking with our representatives from the Wisconsin Medical Society and really trying to, you know, come to agreement on language and concepts that we can both support. And I have to say those meetings, you know, are much more productive than what they've been in the past.
Why is
so
that?
So I think it's because both sides really see the need for getting more care in the state and improving access. And I find those overtures to be supportive and realistic, and that it's in the best interest of the patient. So we are very optimistic for this session.
Governor Evers, in the veto letter, though, had called out significant differences in required education, training, and experience between physicians and APRNs. Is that an issue here, in basically, having functionally equivalent practices to a physician?
We have met with the governor's office and to provide more information about the practice of advanced practice nurses. And really did our best to show that they're delivering safe care. They're delivering it in parts of the state where there are no other healthcare providers. And that we have, 50 years plus of research and outcomes to show the benefits of these advanced practice nurses. So I think the governor understands that. I personally haven't asked him about it recently, but I think he has a better understanding and clarity around what it is we do.
Gina Denick-Champion leads the Wisconsin Nurses Association, the group lobbying on behalf of RNs. Colin, about how you view this workforce, your priorities as a nurse or watching a loved one work in this profession, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the health policy agenda of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. Join in on what legislation you support to help deliver care to patients, priorities you have for this essential healthcare workforce. Your message to lawmakers on nurses, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Nurses Association Executive Director Gina Denick-Champion is with us. Let's bring on a call now, Patrick in Viroqua. Hi, Patrick.
Yes, good morning. If the legislation passes, the nurses will have more responsibility. Will there be a pay raise along with that extra responsibility?
Patrick, thanks. Gina.
So right now we see the majority of our, I would say, our nurse practitioners and our clinical nurse specialists are all employees of our health systems. And some may will choose to venture out on their own, and whether they want to become, bill Medicare for those services or Medicaid for those services. I think we see the salaries of these individuals in our health system being what they are. And I don't anticipate that this would change in any way. The health provider, the health systems themselves can continue to require these advanced practice nurses to have a collaborating physician. So even though the legislation will say, you can be an independent provider, I don't see, similar to the number, 86% of our physicians are employees of health systems. I would say the salaries are set the way they are. They continue to, get bonuses for better, performance outcomes that are critical metrics in demonstrating safe patient care. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Patrick. The association is requesting $10 million in the next state budget to continue a tuition forgiveness program for nursing faculty. Why focus the efforts on tuition reimbursement to address a nursing faculty shortage?
We are really close to a crisis if we're not already in it. The demand for nurses is huge, and we can't, you know, we can't produce more nurses if we don't have the nurse faculty available to do so. The nurse educator role does not, you know, the salaries really aren't that, you know, are, if I'm a nurse and I can work elsewhere doing another, you know, job as an advanced practice nurse, I mean, that's often the deterrent to not wanting to become a nurse educator or nurse faculty member. So this legislation, we received $5 million last year, and it is just about all spent, which to me shows huge, you know, the commitment from these nurses to want to be able to teach. And so the loan forgiveness, or, you know, working as a fellow and getting those dollars to help support their educational journey while they're in school and help supplement their income, we are finding that this seems to be a great recruitment and retention strategy.
Don't nurses already qualify, though, for student loan relief under the Biden administration, under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program?
They do. And those dollars are, you know, we think about the number of nurses that are looking, and those are registered nurses, not necessarily those going into nurse education. But we need as much support as possible to build our workforce, our faculty workforce, or we're not going to be able to meet the demands of what our populations in Wisconsin are going to need in the very near future. As we see the number of elderly, the numbers in Wisconsin growing, so will the need for nurses at the bedside, as well as nurses in our, you know, in our community centers, are in the home, in our primary care clinics or our specialty clinics. So that's what we have to try and be able to make sure that we have the numbers of nurses available to meet that demand for the future.
Gina Denick-Champion, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, join in at 800-642-1234. Danielle in Milwaukee is here. Danielle, hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Danielle.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm an RN in the Milwaukee area. I have been for 5 years. Up until a month ago, I was a critical care nurse. I'm really grateful that you had this conversation going. One of the things that I think is really important and something that absolutely has to be addressed is the mental health and wellness support for nurses. What exists is not adequate. I went to therapy, intensive trauma healing therapy, for a whole year, twice a week at $150 a session. And that was the only way I was able to cope with being a critical care nurse and the stress of having someone's life in your hands and the pandemic and watching, you know, our healthcare system truly start to crumble. And suggesting that an EAP program can help with this is great. However, A, it's biased because it goes through your employer, and so you're not comfortable even if you know it's a safe place. And B, 8 sessions is typically what's covered, and I went to therapy for a year twice a week. So that's my comment.
Danielle, thank you so much for sharing such a personal story here. Gina, you know, what do you hear there in terms of the trauma and healing that Danielle brought up as a critical care nurse and the complications of going through an employer for mental health support?
First of all, I just want to say thank you, Danielle, for number one, wanting to take care of yourself. That's huge. That's huge. A lot of nurses will just leave the bedside. And so I applaud your efforts. And I know that it was it is a financial sacrifice, which is something that needs to be addressed. Also, critical care is, it couldn't get any harder, I would say, in terms of the number of patients that you were seeing, and some not you know, getting through their hospitalization because of the illnesses, and that really can take a toll on nurses. As we are looking at the, you know, our priorities with the other 16 nurses associations, we know that that's what is needed, and I know EAP feels really awkward, and because of the close tie with the employer. And that's the sort of, we know resources that our nurses need. And that is what we're trying to figure out. How do we get this care delivered? Hmm. And how can we do it without, you know, breaking the bank of the nurse?
Gina, thank you for joining us. Gina Denick-Champion has been a registered nurse for over 40 years, executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.